Before I minister today, I want you to just have something in your imagination or your imagery. It just turn to the book of maps for a moment, just the time of Jesus' ministry. Something has Jerusalem and the Salt Sea there on the right. Very important. I just want you to see this because it's good to have this in your imagery. See Jerusalem up there? You go straight over to the right. It's going to be the top of the Salt Sea. That Salt Sea is what's called the Dead Sea in the Bible. And that Dead Sea has nothing living in it. No major fish. Little minnows can live in there, but no major fish can live in that sea. It's dead. It's full of salt. There's so much salt in there you can float on it. Hallelujah. Now, if you'll look over in your Bible too, something will have Paul's missionary journeys. I want you to just get a picture of the Mediterranean Sea or the Roman Empire. You're going to see the whole Mediterranean Sea. You should be able to see Rome on the far left, Africa, Egypt as the Nile feeds into the Mediterranean. This is really important. I want you to locate a little city on the side of Judah. It's a little bit north of Jerusalem called Tyre. It's on the edge of the Mediterranean. Today we're going to learn some things. Amen. That Mediterranean Sea, that's the Great Sea. It's also the Sea of Commerce. That's where all the commerce was done. From Rome to Greece, Macedonia, Africa, Egypt, all of it was done in that sea. All right? Okay, with that in mind, now you have that. Go to Ezekiel 47. Now, as you know, we broke into what I call the living waters, or the waters of inheritance. My life has never been the same since. It's been after a very long journey into the right hand of God for a whole year to find out what was in that water. Now, what you need to understand about the living waters, it says out of your innermost being, or out of the kingdom of God within you, out of the temple of God within you, flows rivers of living water. That's John chapter 7. In John chapter 4, he spoke of a well of water. He said the living water would be in you as a well of water springing up into eternal life. So this well of living water is a pretty amazing because Jesus had a lot to say about it. He said not only it would spring up, but it would flow. Now we're going to look at the fullness of that flow today. Because as you know, before Abraham birthed anything, God took him to the end of the matter, showed him what he looked like at the end of his life, and then he begins. Why does God do that? Because he wants you to have an image of the end, because that's what he wants you looking at. He wants you to look at the finish line, not at your present circumstance, because the enemy will flood your circumstance, flood the temporal with a million reasons why you're never going to arrive at what God said you're going to arrive into. So God, what he does is he seeds you from the end. He shows you the end from the beginning, then he begins. Amen? Because he always wants you to see the end before you begin. Amen? So, of course, with this river, he showed us the end. Glory to God. And today, I'm going to show you the fullness. Everyone say, fullness of this river. Glory to God. Are these waters of inheritance. And when the Lord brought us into this, he said, the blessing is in the water. Now, there's something you need to understand today. I'm going to show you something profound about these waters. But every generation brings forth the living water. They just bring it forth in the measure of their revelation. When Martin Luther came along, he brought justification by faith and he restored that. That was his level of word. The word of God, the intake of your word, you need to really understand this. Because somebody asked me a question, what's the difference between this river that's about to flow and the one we saw flowing with former generations and former moves, like the river movement? You know, with all the vineyard churches and things, I said, what's the difference is your revelation of what's in that water. Because that water is going to bring forth what you see it. And the word of God brings definition to the water. When Martin Luther saw justification of faith, guess what flowed up out of him? Justification of faith. And it flooded the earth. And then God restored the pastors and the evangelists. Then he restored the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then the teaching movement came. Then the prophetic movement came. But now we see something very profound in these waters. We see an apostolic government forming, forging, and it's about to flow into the earth. We see that by the depth of the level of the Word of God. The Word of God defines what flows out of you. Always remember that. Your revelation of the Word will determine what that river brings forth, providing that you let the river flow. Amen? And we got to get these waters flowing, praise God. Now, let's begin in Ezekiel chapter 47, because that's all I can review today, because I have so much to cover. Let's begin in verse 1, and it says, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and it was the temple. He's looking at the temple. And behold, waters, now look at this, waters issued out from under the threshold of the temple. Where is the chief cornerstone located? He's in the foundation of the temple because he is the foundation, chief cornerstone by which all things are built. So he's under the temple. He is the foundation of the temple. Christ, what? He's the rock that gave forth the water in the wilderness. Said in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, that rock that followed them around, when Moses struck the rock, when Moses spoke to the rock gave its water. That rock is the chief cornerstone that's set into Zion, set into the right hand of God, and it is the foundation stone by which everything else is built. Notice where the water flowed from beneath. Flowing out of the rock. Everyone say flowing out of the rock. Even better. It says it broke out. If you read here. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east. That would be east. This is north. Now Ezekiel, he's on the north and he's walking around the outside of the temple. He's watching this water. Now the temple's facing east. And it said that water breaks out on the right side. Underneath the temple. Where is Jesus situated? The right hand of God. And where do the waters come out? Right side. Why is that important? Because these waters contain everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. These waters contain his full inheritance. What else is he? He is a reigning king and a high priest. Seated at the right hand of God after the order of Melchizedek. Say king and priest. All right. Keep that in mind. Now let's move on to verse 8. Now it talked about how the waters flowed and broke out of the temple. We've already covered this, so we have to move forward. It flowed up to the ankles, the knees, the waist, and then they were waters to swim in. Now what I'm interested in today is to find out where these waters went. Where are the waters going? It's just amazing. As soon as they start flowing, they're headed for something. These waters are headed for something. These waters are flowing out of you. Because you are the temple of the living God. You are seated at the right hand of God. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Seek those things that are above. What did he say? We were raised together with him, made to sit together with him. That means what's flowing out of his rock is flowing out of you. And John 7 said it the best, out of your innermost being, but more importantly, out of the kingdom of God within you, are out of the temple of God. You got to know you're the temple of the living God. Even Paul said, no, you're not. You're the temple. He said, out of that temple flows rivers. He didn't say one river. Everyone say, thank God. He didn't say one river. He said rivers. Rivers of living water. What's in those rivers is your revelation of that water. I'll tell you what's in it. The fullness of his inheritance is in that water. But every generation sees a part of it. And then the next generation sees another part. And the next generation sees another part. And the next generation. But now we're coming into the fullness of times where we're seeing the whole thing. We're seeing the fullness of what he wants to bring out of the kingdom of God within the church. He wants to bring now these waters don't originate with you. They're just in you. Amen. And it's these waters that the Holy Ghost anoints and he transforms them once they break out of you. These waters will do nothing as long as they're inside you. No more than water in a well can feed a city or water the ground. It must come up out of that well. And the enemy is very skilled at quenching the water, capping the well. He's very skilled at us walking around a lifetime with living water on the inside of us, but not know how to get it out. And when we do get it flowing, just like Isaac did, he comes and steals it. He says, "That's my water." Just as soon as you get it flowing, he goes, "That's my water." You got to say, "No, it's not. It's my water." He said, "Oh, no, you didn't." That's why he said, "Guard your heart with all diligence," or keep it. "For out of it flows the issues, the wellsprings of life flowing out." You got to guard that. If you don't, you'll lose it. You can't lose the water. It just goes back in its hole. We were meant to live by the living water flowing out. It's the living water that causes the supernatural. It's the living water that causes the favor. It's the living water that causes the yoke that is easy and the burden is light. The devil wants to bring the waters out of the flesh. Ezekiel 47 verse 8, "Then he said unto me, the waters issue out toward the east country." Now these waters have already broken out of the temple now. They're on the outside walls and they are headed to the east country. They have a direction and they know where they're going. They go down into the desert. They go down into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. These waters are healing another water. That other waters is the Dead Sea. All right? That's the Salt Sea, but it's actually the Dead Sea. "And it shall come to pass," verse 9, "that everything that liveth and moveth, whithersoever the rivers." Now, if you have a King James, or many of your translations will either call that two rivers, double river, if you got an amplified, but you should have a little letter by the rivers. If you look at that letter, it's going to say two rivers. In the original Hebrew, that was two rivers. They didn't know what to do with it because they saw it as one river flowing into the Dead Sea, but it was actually two rivers. So they just took that out and called it rivers, but they didn't know what to do with it. But I know what to do with it. Amen. The Holy Ghost knows what to do with those two rivers. Because that wasn't one river, that was two rivers. And that's very important because he broke that river in half and sent the other one somewhere else. That's huge. And he said, "Whensoever these two rivers shall come, it shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish." There is no great multitude of fish in the Dead Sea, because it wasn't talking about the Salt Sea. It was talking about the Dead Sea of humanity, the earth that was subjected to spiritual death for all its sin and fallen short of the glory of God. By one man, death passed upon all men, and the devil himself, calling himself the God of this world system, reigning over a world, reigning over the Dead Sea. See, he calls that his fish. The great multitude of fish are the people. In fact, he's going to describe them here in a minute. Watch this. "And he said, there was a very great multitude of fish because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. Everything shall live whither the river cometh." Man, you got to get that confession in your mouth every day. Everything that's dead will live again. Everything this river cometh, whithersoever this river flows into my dead checkbook, flowing into the dead parts of my body, flowing in to the spiritual death of this world, wherever this river cometh, it's the river that's going to cause it, not a man's personality. I don't care how good the church presents the gospel. It doesn't matter. If this river's not flowing, nothing's going to happen. It's when this river breaks out, things begin to change. It's when this river comes forth from the temple. What did he say? Fill the water pots with water, fill them up, and then draw it out. It turns from water to wine, from water to power, from water to glory after it's filled up. It does no good if stagnant water's in a well within us. It's got to come up. We must live by these rivers. You're not going to do that if you don't have a revelation of it. If you don't have a revelation of what's in these rivers, you won't live by them. You'll walk around with these rivers inside you your whole lifetime. But you get a revelation of what's in there, and then a revelation of how to get it out, and then a revelation of actually what happens when they get out. Oh! He says, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether this river cometh, it shall come to pass. Now watch this. The fisher shall stand upon this dead sea of En-Gedi, even unto Engliam. They shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Boy, this is evangelism right here. You see salvation in these rivers? You see the healing in these rivers? And the fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. You know what that just described? Every tongue, tribe, and nation. Because the fish describing this dead sea are not fish. It's you. Every tongue, tribe, and nation. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. The whole nation that was subjected to spiritual death, living in a dead sea with a prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2, reigning over the spiritual death. You could call this river the priestly river. It's the apostolic river. There's apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. They're flowing up in this river. It's a river of salvation. It's a river of healing. It's a river of renewal. It's a river of transformation. And everything that's dead, if there's some sickness in the body, when this river hits it, the Holy Ghost is going to cause a manifestation of healing. This is what Jesus walked by. He walked by a free-flowing, full river. He knew what was in him. If we don't protect it, guard it, speak to it, if we don't value it, then we're left to our own self. And guess what we get? Waters out of the flesh, out of the sweat of your brow, so you bring forth sweat. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to bring it up out of your flesh, bring it up out of human sufficiency. He wants to bring it out of what you can do, not what God can do. He replaces it. I've seen him do it too long. He said, there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Now let me read you this verse 12 out of the Amplified. See, this river wants to flow to the Dead Sea. Look at the fullness. It wants to overcome the entire Dead Sea. It wants to cause massive conversion out of the Dead Sea. We want to go down with the Dead Sea without the river. You go down in yourself, nothing will get converted. You know, it breaks my heart a lot of times. I'm constantly watching documentaries and television on meeting humanity's needs and all the humanitarian things going on. One of the things I was watching the other night was that new show called Secret Millionaire. It's a great show. It makes me weep every time I see it because these guys live for themselves, but they get out there in a place where they get out on the streets where the real problems occur, and it just rips them apart. What they do is they find two or three nonprofit organizations that really touch his heart, and then they give them gifts. And it's a powerful. They write them a $50,000 check, and the knee was great. But you know what? I was weeping after that. I was weeping because they gave the money because it's a very touching show. But then I was weeping because all that they could see was meeting humanity's need at a natural level. Everyone's programmed to meet humanity's need at a natural level. I'm like, what if that river flowed into that? Nobody thinks like that. Not even the church thinks like that. We're so programmed to do things the way man does it because we don't know there is a supernatural river on the inside of us. There's a river, a living river. It's waters of life. It's waters of inheritance. It's waters of salvation. It's waters of healing and deliverance. But if they don't get up and flow, the enemy causes us to replace it with what we can do. And we don't get anything done in the realm of the supernatural. Jesus did not operate like that. He did not. And he does not want us operating like that. The secret is in the water. you better get a revelation of the water, because Isaac got a well flowing twice. The enemy stole his well twice. Most people would never dig enough for the well. Isaac dug enough to get the water flowing, and it was stolen twice from him. But the hundredfold water is the only time the hundredfold was mentioned in the Old Testament, was in that water, in that well. He reaped a hundredfold because he found the water. Everyone say, I have found water. Say it again. I have found water. Man, I walk around all day long. I have found water. I have found water. Listen, you don't have to go lock yourself in a closet for 2 hours on the way to work. You can sit there and start talking to the well. What did he tell Moses? Speak to the rock and it'll give its water. Speak to the rock and it'll give its water. You got to know what's in that rock. You got to know what's in that well or you won't do it. It's amazing that we as society, and I completely believe in the education, but we will take out a loan, go to college, 4 to 8 years, spend $80,000, $100,000 to educate our mind. No problem spending 8 hours a day studying, putting your head in a book. To educate your mind so you can deposit that mind into a world and reap from it. Because you can reap from an education. But these days, educations don't mean like what they meant before, because a lot of times you walk into that employer and there's five other people standing there with the same degree going like this. Say, join the club. We've all waved that one. What if we would educate our spirit? More importantly, of what's that living water? Educate how to get that living water. You were designed by divine providence to have a river of living water flowing out of you. It's that river that calls miraculous blessings. It was that river that calls miraculous healing. It's that river that calls promotion and favor and goodness and mercy. It's that river that calls these things to flow. When it's not flowing, it's a barren wilderness. It's heavy yoke. He said, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm like, when, God, is it ever easy? I don't know very much about that yoke, and I've been seeking pretty hard. Mostly it's hard. I know where it's at now. I know where the blessing's at. I know, because when the Holy Ghost taps our well and we work with him to draw up this water and keep it flowing, it will do things automatically. That's the part you don't have to work at. When the water starts flowing, he does miraculous things with it. You're walking along and all of a sudden favor, pow, goodness, promotion. Man, it just starts flowing. You're like, you're walking around, I can't keep up with God. That's called the blessing. You got it on you. More importantly, you have it in you. John 4:14, it shall be the water I will give you, shall be in you a well, springing up a well within my soul. In Numbers 21, when they found water, they sang a song, spring up, oh well. Boy, if you'd learn to talk to your well, we are a peculiar people, because God said, speak to the rock. Speak to it. Speak to what? You think you're crazy? They had a rock following them around in the wilderness. And they were looking for water in a pool, and God said, no, it's in that rock over there. No. We are accustomed to having water on the ground. It's going to look something like a lake. It's going to look something like a pond. We got to see, or we'll dig. We got to find a well spring. He said, no, it's in that rock over there. Hey, God, water does not come out of a rock. He said, in my kingdom, it does. In my kingdom. How'd you like to be Moses? Leading 3 million people around. And they're all hungry. They're all thirsty. And they're all looking at you. You'd like God to say, hey, just one more mile and you're going to find a big old lake there. It's going to be fresh water, oasis, all that. He says, that rock, there's your provision right there. Who ever heard of speaking to, who ever heard of a rock falling around? In 1 Corinthians 10, he said, the rock followed him around. And then he said, speak to that rock. So this is a rock right here. Water, come forth. Come forth. No, you got to get bold. With joy you draw water up out of the wells of salvation, out of my temple, out of the kingdom of God within me, out of the rock of Christ within me, flowing rivers. Spring up, O well, spring up, O well. You give me rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of my valleys. You make my wilderness a pool of water and my dry land springs of water. I'm going to submit to you what God wants to do. He wants to transform your wilderness into an oasis. He doesn't want to pluck you out of the wilderness. He wants the water to come up right in the middle of the wilderness and turn it into an oasis right in front of everybody. To do that, you're going to have to respect what's in you and you're going to have to start talking to it. Now that is a peculiar thing, isn't it? Start talking, speaking to yourselves. What are you speaking to yourself? Speaking to yourself? Yeah, you're going to speak to a part of you. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What kind of spiritual song? Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well. You got to speak. Man, I find myself speaking. I get up, speak at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I go back in the prayer closet. Just speak again, speak again, speak again. I am addicted now. Because I know what's in there. I know there is a river that can change and transform the dead sea of humanity. And everything that's dead will live. Because I've been trying to do it a long time. And not getting very good results. And the reason is you're not going to approach this gospel and this fallen world without that living water. It's that living water that turns to wine. It's that living water that turns and transforms into miracles, signs, and wonders. What did Jesus? Virtue flowed out of him. Virtue flowed out and they were healed. He had a whole revival of virtue flowing out of him. Say, virtue flowing out. What do you think was in the virtue? The living water flowing out, turning into signs, miracles, and wonders and demonstration. The water is according to your revelation. Your revelation of that living word gives definition to the water inside you. That's why you need to be chewing on the meat. Amen? Now we see how the prince of the power of the air, we see how he was reigning over the Dead Sea. The Bible called him the God of this world system. Now we see all that. By one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon man, and he became the God of this world system over the Dead Sea of humanity. However, this is the good part. These waters flowed somewhere else. Are you ready? Go to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8, real quick. I am so glad I found this scripture. My goodness. I'm so glad he broke that river in half. I'm so glad that I know why that river's flowing. See, not only does he boast to be the God of this world system over the Dead Sea of humanity, he also calls himself another king of another sea. And these waters are going to unseat his system in the last days. It's going to overcome death. But also, just as the priestly waters were flowing with salvation, miracles, signs, wonders, restoration into the Dead Sea, there's another part of these waters that flows to the Sea of Commerce. Say, Sea of Commerce. This is the kingly sea. Why wouldn't the waters, if he is a king priest after the order of Melchizedek, seated at the right hand of God, if he is the chief cornerstone, then don't you think the waters that come up out of that rock had kingly water and priestly water in it? The waters would affect not only the priestly Dead Sea of humanity, but also affect the Sea of Commerce. Zechariah 14:8, look at this. Woo! This is good. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It's like, I'd sure just like to take a drink of this water. I would too. That's what Abraham, God, I just like to birth one son. God's talking to him about millions. Look at the stars of the heaven. Look at the sand of the seashore. Say, God, just one would do. Why are you talking to me about millions? I just want one. One air, God. You keep talking to me about millions of people coming out of my loins. It's because God always takes you to the end first. He don't want you hanging around the temporal because that's the enemy's battleground. That's where he's constantly filling you why you can't do it. God takes you to the realm of the impossible to the very end, gives you something to look at. Today, I'm giving you something to look at. Amen. Zechariah 14:8, and it shall come to pass in that day. Oh, look at this. that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, the exact same living waters that broke out of the temple. And Ezekiel chapter 47, all that's inside you, because the kingdom's inside you, the temple's inside you. Amen. And that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Oh, look at this. Half of them towards the eastern Dead Sea. Hey, what you saw in Ezekiel 47 only got half the water. And half the water was enough. Everyone say half the water, because the other half went to the Mediterranean Sea. Half of them to the eastern Dead Sea, and half of them to the western sea, the Mediterranean Sea. In summer and winter it shall be. Say summer and winter. You know why? Because these waters cannot be frozen and they cannot be dried up. The summer won't dry them up and the winter won't freeze them. They will flow in four seasons at a time. I want you to know something. We saw him as the God of the world system over there in the Dead Sea. But now half of these waters are flowing to the Great Sea, or the Mediterranean Sea, which fed the Nile, which fed Egypt, that fed Africa, that fed Rome, that fed Macedonia, that fed Jerusalem. That sea was the sea, the Great Sea of commerce during that day. That's where Tyre was situated. Okay? Let's look at Tyre. Go to Isaiah 23 for a minute. This is the meat of it. Tyre is going to be mentioned heavily in Isaiah 23 and Ezekiel 26, 27, 28. Those are your four chapters that are going to reveal what Tyre is. When it talks about this, I want you to, in your mind, know that Tyre is situated Mediterranean. Everything we're about to talk about is happening in the Mediterranean Sea, or you could call it the Sea of Commerce, or you could call it the marketplace out there. All right? When you walk out there during the day and you want to do business in great waters, you're going to the Sea of Commerce. But you have somebody out there that calls himself the king of that sea. And you better not go out there without the real king. Amen. Isaiah 23, verse 1, the burden of Tyre. Now, he's given a judgment here about Tyre, but I want you to see how it describes Tyre. How, you ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. So that there is no house, no entering in from the land of Shittim, it is revealed to them. Okay? Be still, you inhabitants of the island, Tyre, whom the merchants of Sidon that pass over the sea have replenished. See, merchants passing over the sea, that's the Great Sea. This is the Mediterranean Sea. This is the Sea of Commerce. For by the great waters of the Sea of Sidon, this is talking about the Nile River that's fed from this Mediterranean, that fed Egypt. All the wealth of Egypt come up out of the Mediterranean Sea. The commerce of the Mediterranean fed everything. It was the Sea of Commerce. He says, the harvest of the river is her revenue. She is a mart of nations. You can say trading mart of nations. Tyre, where do you think all the trade was coming from? From the Great Sea of Commerce. Rome, Nile, Africa, Egypt, Macedonia, Asia Minor, all of these early world, all these nations are doing great business together out of this Sea of Commerce. But it was all happening in an exchange, much like the New York Stock Exchange in Tyre. Now look at verse 8. Who had taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth. And you can call that, those traffickers, they do that by sea. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to stain the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. So all the honorable of the earth are trading in Tyre. All the princes, all the traffickers of the earth, they're sailing their ships in the Great Sea of Commerce, but Tyre is the exchange. It's the city where everything's taking place. Be like a New York almost. Now look at this. Verse 11. He stretched out his hand over the what? This is God. This is the Mediterranean, Great Sea. He shook the kingdoms. What do you think's going to do that? Only one thing going to shake those kingdoms. That's the living water. Stretching out of the right hand of God, flowing. Man, the word of God is intense. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. I like it. me. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 26 and look at this a little more. So you're going to see this river flowing. I want you to describe what it's flowing to, what it's going to overcome. If you get this river flowing, when you go out in the marketplace, you'll automatically overcome, because the river, nothing stands against it. The enemy has no defense for it. But if it's inside you, it'll do you no good. Sitting in there like a well. How many years have you walked around with the answer inside you? How many years have we kept praying to God, when are you going to do something? When are you going to do something? When are you going to do something? And the answer has been running around in the inside. Everywhere you go on, it's gone with you. And God said, one day they'll get that I put it in them. Out of. Say, out of. That these waters can't be pulled up and drawn up by human sufficiency. The only one thing to pull these waters up, and that's faith. Today we're looking at the panoramic picture of what these waters will do. All right, Ezekiel 26, verse 2. Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha. We see where Tyre got its strength from in the first place. She is broken, that was the gates of the people. She has turned unto me, and now I'm replenished, and she is laid waste. Solomon's fall. See, Solomon, Jerusalem was the marketplace of the nations. At Solomon's fall, all that wealth and all of that merchandise and all of that marketing and all of that business shifted to Tyre. And Tyre became the merchandising mart of the nations. Go to 27. Ezekiel 27, verse 2. Let's look at Tyre. Now, to understand how to meditate Ezekiel 27, Ezekiel 27 pictures a ship made of all these different trading wares and substances and the ores, and everything a part of this ship was brought from a certain nation. And this ship was sailed out into the sea of commerce, or sailed out in the Mediterranean Sea. So he's going to picture this. He's actually describing the trading mart of Tyre. Now watch how he does this in Ezekiel 27 verse 2. He says, now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus. Say unto Tyrus, O thou that are situated at the entry of the sea. You can put the sea of commerce. You know, the one you go out into every day to try to do business in great waters. You gospel entrepreneurs. You kings out there. You people trying to scratch out a living. You don't know there's a king sitting over that sea out there. And he calls that his sea. If you're going to overcome him in a big way, you're going to have something greater than him. But the good news is something greater than him is inside you, because he broke the rivers and sent it to the sea. Now watch this. O thou Tyrus, O thou situated at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many islands. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. You see that? Thy borders are in the midst of the sea of commerce. Called it his borders. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made of all thy shipboards fir trees of Sinir. See, Sinir was trading fir trees there. Now you have taken cedars from Lebanon. Lebanon brought their cedars to trade in Tyre. Oaks of Bashan. Were made oars of Bashan. You made your oars. He's describing a big ship being built by everything that's being traded in that city. Bashan brought their oars. Some people brought their gold, their silver, their pearls. Just like the New York Stock Exchange, they're bringing all their stuff to go trade there. That was the New York Stock Exchange of that day. And it described everything that was traded there. Fine linen, verse 7. Broidered work from Egypt. With which thou spreadest forth thy sail. Benches of ivory from the Asherites, verse 6. Verse 15, I don't want to get into all, because it's a long, long list of everything being traded. She was the merchandise and mart of the nations. See, she carried it all. All the wealth was conglomerated there in Tyre. She owned the seas. All these people were trading in the seas, and Tyre owned all of it. Verse 15, the men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many islands were the merchandise of thine hand. Look at that. Many islands. See that? Many islands. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant. See, it talks about the whole world all around the Mediterranean. Every one of them came to Tyre to trade. Why is that important? type and shadow. This is a spiritual system now. That's why when you go out there and, you know, you approach the world and the world is set up to resist you. You understand that. To tax you to no end. Even when you're a business, everything mammon wants control of the seas. Because mammon has a king that says, that sea is mine. And God says, no, it's not. My river will flow to that sea. Verse 18, Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of the wares of thy making, for the multitude of all riches. Now it really gets good here in verse 25. Now watch this. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in the market. Thou was replenished and made very glorious in the midst of what? That's the Mediterranean. And all those that fed into the Mediterranean, they were making Tyre very glorious. Tyre was owned by the seas. See, Tyre made her revenue by the seas. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. And God's rowers are about to bring some even greater waters. Come on, row, baby. Row, baby. This river is not only going to the Dead Sea, but this river is going to the Sea of Commerce. And it's going to overcome mammon in the last days. God's people, the kingdom of God, will see a conversion of the sea in the last day. And all of the wealth of the seas, when this final river flows, there's going to be a major conversion to the kingdom of God. Whew, I love it. And it's going to be not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. He that hath ears to hear today will hear what I'm saying. Because I'm only talking to the ones who want to hear it. I'm talking to you that want to hear this. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of going out there trying to change the world with nothing to change it with. We go work 8-10 hours a day out there in the marketplace, and we get so little result. Because we're doing it out of the wrong water. Verse 26, thy rowers have brought thee into the great waters. Yep. The east wind. Ha, ha, ha. Everyone say east wind. Where's the river coming from? See, the Mediterranean's here. The river's coming from the east. There's another river coming in. It's going to break her sails. You got to understand the word's very poetic. The word of God is incredibly poetic. From Genesis to Revelation, there is a poetic imagery going on. This is supposed to give you a natural image of what's going on in a spiritual system. It's that spiritual system you got to learn how it functions and operates, because it's that one that's going to overcome the natural. If we try to approach things in the natural, we get natural result. All right? He said, the rowers have brought thee in great waters, and the east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the sea. Ha! That's the waters. That's the living waters coming from the east. That's that river that was broken half, and that's flowing. Verse 27, look at this. Thy riches, thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners, thy pilots, thy caulkers, the occupiers of thy merchandise, all thy men of war that are in thee and in thy company, which is in the midst of the sea, shall fall into the midst of the sea in the day of thy ruin. There is a judgment coming to that system, because another one's coming in. Because God is going to raise up his people that have living water flowing. And when that living water flows, things are going to happen. Supernaturally, how did you just do that? You were not born out of this proud lot that we were born in. How did you do such a thing? God takes the base things of the world to confound the wise. God's going to take a people and say, I don't know nothing, but I do got a river on the inside of me. And all I done figured out, all I got to do is let that thing flow, because it does things that are supernatural. Every time that river flows, something happens. That's the secret of the body of Christ in the last days. These rivers will flow. You think that God's going to testify to a world by flesh? He's going to flow up something through his people in the last days. They're going to found the world. Come on, God. Look at verse 33. When thy wares went forth out of the sea, thou fillest many people. Look at this. You didst enrich the kings of the earth with thy multitude of thy riches and thy merchandise. Tyre was it. If you were somebody, you'd be trading in Tyre. You are enriching the kings of the earth. And the time when thou shalt be broken in the seas and the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. That is a system, because another system's coming in, my friends. It's called the kingdom. When the kingdom shows up, everything else will bow. The kingdom's going to show up by the living water flowing up out of God's people. Let's look at this real quick. Go to Ezekiel 28. Today, I just want you to see these rivers, the fullness of them. Isn't it amazing? Tyre, all the kings of the earth are trading up in this city. Now, we saw the devil as the god of the world system over in the Dead Sea, right? Now, let's see if we see him over here in the Mediterranean Sea. It's amazing. He likes to camp on what he thinks is his. Ezekiel 28. Verse 12, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. The king. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, you sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Oh, look at this. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Really? King of Tyre, huh? Every precious stone was thy covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. He had all the musical instruments in him. He led to worship as an archangel before his fall. Of course, he wasn't called the king of Tyre back then. More like Lucifer. But he was in Eden. This king of Tyre? Oh, that wasn't enough. Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He was an order of cherub. One of the most magnificent of all God's creation before he fell. Because he knew it. That's why he fell. I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of the merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. How many know Lucifer was cast out? He was the anointed cherub that covereth. This is describing the devil before his fall, in his fall. But notice this, he called himself the king of Tyre. The Lord gave me this revelation like 20 years ago about Tyre, but he didn't show me how to see. I didn't know about the living water. If I'd have known that 20 years ago, we would be somewhere else right now. I can tell you right now, we'd be in full-blown revival. How did I known that? He asked me this question to start me. He says, why do you think the devil, with all his pomp and glory, would boast himself to be a king of a city they spread fish nets upon? When he boasts of himself to be the god of this world system, why does he call himself a king of a city when he's boasting to be the god of the world system? Why would he do that? That would be like a demotion. He's full of pride. Because that king of that city, he was calling himself king of Tyre, was a whole lot more than the city. That was the commerce of the nations. That whole sea of commerce was fed into Tyre. All the commerce of the world was fed into Tyre. And he says, I am the king of commerce. And I sit over this merchandising mart of the nations right here. And all the sea's commerce belongs to me. I am king of this sea. That's what he's saying. I'm king of this sea. You want to do business? You come under my yoke. You want to do business? I own this sea. That's what he says. But God said, oh, no, you don't. God said, oh, no, you didn't. God said, that's my sea. And just as everything that's dead would be converted in the Dead Sea, I'm going to cause a conversion of the fish. They that go down to the seas will do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonder in the deep. He said, that's my sea. And when these waters come up out of this temple, I'm going to break them in half. And when I do, half of them are going to the Dead Sea. Because I'm going to convert the lost. But the other half is going to the Sea of Commerce. And I'm going to convert the Sea of Commerce with an east wind. This water is going to flow with an east wind. We're going east. The water is going to flow. And I'm going to break. Shaka ba 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 ba. Look at this, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. And I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. He said he'd lay him. That means the God's kings that are coming up in the last day. Guess what? They're going to be looking at him from this point of view. Hello. You know what that really meant? I'm going to take my kings and I'm going to raise them up above your system. I'm going to raise them up far above. And they're going to come sit with me in the heavenly places. And I'm going to give them my authority. I'm going to give them my position. I'm going to raise together and make you sit together with me in the heavenly places. And you're going to look at him from this position. And when the living water flows, the living water that takes precedence over all things, when it flows down in that system, that sea will have to give up its harvest. And the devil will sit there and do nothing about it. Because these waters are going to convert the Dead Sea and they're going to convert the Sea of Commerce. Let the river flow whithersoever these two rivers go. Whithersoever this king, priest, government flows, there will be life. There will be healing. There will be transformation. There will be victory on every side. Oh, let the rivers flow. Woo. All right. That's good stuff, ain't it? Everyone say glory. I'm not interested in building a church with a bunch of people that operate in the natural. We've had it. It's not getting the job done. I'm interested in getting the living waters up out of the people of God so God can show himself strong. Everyone just say, glory! Back to Isaiah 23, since we're there. Just so you know that I'm just not preaching here. The word has a prophecy. Now, this prophecy I'm about to give you has never been fulfilled. Because it was reserved for the last day expression of a king-priest government where the waters would be broken half and the waters would flow and take over the Sea of Commerce. That did not happen in the early church. The early church, these waters broke open and the salvation began going to the nations. But the Sea of Commerce did not get converted in the early days. But it will in the latter. Isaiah 23, verse 14. I do love it. I love it, and I want more of it. Isaiah 23, verse 14, how you ships of Tarshish. Boy, isn't that a difference? Right now they sit over and they mock. So this is our world. See, the king of Tyre, you know that the devil, king of Tyre, wasn't in the flesh ruling over that city. That was a spiritual stronghold that he was ruling over and called himself the king. He had a prince, a man that was ruling over that city. Called him the Prince of Tyre in Ezekiel 28. He was ruling as a spiritual being under a spiritual system. Okay? But he called himself. It's the same place, I believe. He was ruling over a system where he controlled the glory of the nations, the wealth of the nations. You remember when Jesus went to the wilderness and the third temptation, the devil came and got him and took him somewhere else? Brought him to a city and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And then he showed him all the glory of the kingdoms, the wealth of the kingdoms. He says, you don't have to do what you're going to do it. I'll just give it all to you. Just bow down and worship me. And you don't even have to go do what you're going to do. I'll give it to you because I own it. Adam gave it all to me. I'm the God of the world system. He took him to a place and showed him the kingdoms and the glory and the wealth of the nations. He said, all of it's mine. Where do you think he took him? Tyre, the spiritual stronghold. Now, y'all ready? Isaiah 23, verse 14. How, you ships of Tarshish, your strength is laid waste. It shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. Now, this was supposed to be talking about Nebuchadnezzar when he took Jerusalem, and he took Tyre too. He brought him in captivity for 70 years. He says, at the end of 70 years, Tyre would sing as a harlot. Now, you have to understand this. After Nebuchadnezzar's fall, when the children of Israel were released back to Jerusalem, Tyre never revived. History tells it, it never did anything, but Alexander came along and just wiped the whole city off the map. But this prophecy never happened and it never revived because it was speaking of another day. It was speaking of the day the river was going to come. The river's coming. The living water's coming. There's an east wind that's coming. Whew. Take a harp. Go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. It shall come to pass at the end of the 70 years that the Lord, would visit Tyre. See, the Lord would visit it. Now notice what would happen. He says, and she shall turn to her hire and commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. What kind of fornication? The one she was committing in the beginning. Financial fornication. She was the trading mart of the nations. Everybody came to fornicate with her. But there was the wrong kind of blessing going on. Do you understand that? There was a lot of evil attached to the system. He said she would start fornicating with all the kingdoms. A global system would be put in place. In the last days, our global system, if you commit fornication, she never did this after Nebuchadnezzar. It never happened because it's speaking of a spiritual system that's created now another natural global system that's been put in place and global. Everything is pushing for a global economic system where she can sit as the king or he can sit and fornicate with all the nations. But guess what? They have forgotten that there is a living river that's about to flow up into that thing. They don't know because they don't even think like that. They think the Bible and the people of God are has-beens. But they have no idea that God's going to take the weak things of the world. They're going to walk into this system with a river flowing. And it's going to cause some miraculous things to happen. Notice what happens here. She will turn to her hire, commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth, and her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. To eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. There is a wealth transference coming, my friend. Tyre will give up her merchandise. She will give up her system because there's an east wind bringing a mighty river of life. God broke it in half, sent half of it to the Dead Sea, but the other half, he's going to testify to the Sea of Commerce. I am the God of this world system. I am the true God. I own Tyre, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, that sea of commerce belongs to me, the living God. And God's going to take it supernaturally with some very unassuming people. They're going to do some major, massive things. The people of God with a living river flowing. How is he going to do it? That living river is going to start flowing. It's going to be like this. Hey. Look what I got. You got to get it flowing. Put all your contracts on a table and said, Father, I confess I can do nothing in myself. Forgive me for the waters of the flesh. You got to get it flowing. It's called waters to swim in. Say waters to swim in. Waters to swim in. You got to get in the water. And you got to get that water flowing. It is the secret of your success in the last days. Don't be letting that fear get on you. Don't be letting the system of mammon get on you, controlling your mind. You better get a PhD in the rivers of living water and better get it fast. Because the enemy wants to take control and God is about to open this river. They don't know what's about to hit them, I'm telling you. Because it has nothing to do with you. He's going to take the weak things of the world and confound the wise. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you to speak to the rock for 30 minutes a day. If Moses could speak to a rock out in the wilderness and 3 million people, you can speak to a rock when nobody's looking. You got to learn how to speak to the rock. Amen.